Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
All right, welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Leave us a 5-star review, as always. You can email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Hit us on Twitter with any questions you may have at lockedonbulls. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union are back from China. They've been binge-watching Game of Thrones.
Binge-watching Game of Thrones on the flight, according to Dwayne Wade's Snapchat. Back in Chicago, 2 hours ago, we're recording this on Tuesday evening. And Dwayne Wade, just like you, has to deal with traffic from the airport.
He also has
into the city.
And he has to deal with his flight getting delayed because of a fight. There was a fight, apparently, on his flight back from China. Where because like I think the way
before it took off,
I think the way he explained it was that a lady was trying to put her luggage up in one of the compartments and somebody else was trying to have her not put it there, and a fight broke out and they had to bring the police in. At least that's how he explained it on Snapchat. There was no actual footage of it.
Well, the other funny part is, of course, Dwayne Wade heard this or was observing all this from his luxurious first class seating that looked like, I mean, it almost looked like they almost had a bed on there or something,
Dwayne Wade is not a man of the people because he's not flying first class.
If you're a millionaire and an NBA icon like he is, I would be getting the biggest bunk or suite I could on any plane if I couldn't afford my own plane, my own private
jet.
I'm
actually surprised he doesn't have his own plane.
Well, LeBron would probably have one if he did something like this, wouldn't he?
Oh, I think LeBron probably has his own plane.
Yeah, so I'm a little surprised LeBron didn't charter it for Dwayne Wade, I guess, would be the question.
Possibly,
we know the Bulls.
Possibly the banana boat squad might not run as deep as we thought.
That's true, but we know the Bulls couldn't charter him a flight because last time they tried to do that in free agency, they were apparently supposed to meet him, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, but they had travel issues with their flight in some regard, which did not come back to haunt them because Dwayne Wade's a Bull.
He's been wearing Bulls shirts on Snapchat. It's crazy.
He's wearing all his gear around China, and we were a little skeptical when he said on, I don't know, it was one of the morning shows.
Live with Kelly,
that he's been wearing his Bulls clothes every day, like almost insinuating like he was a small child wearing them to sleep, not quite. But he really has been wearing Bulls gear almost every day in Snapchat.
Yeah, and then on Friday, he's going to have his introductory press conference at the Advocate Center, and he's going to be holding up a Bulls jersey with his name on it, and it's going to be real.
I expect his press conference Friday to be a little bit more formal than Rajon Rondo's introductory press conference. Dwayne Wade will probably have on a 3-piece suit or something really nice. Rondo, I think, was in like a t-shirt and shorts.
Well, Rondo wasn't really so much of a press conference as it was just kind of an informal gathering. They brought us out onto the court, and then they just brought him in like wearing a Bulls warm-up shirt and just had him talk to us in front of like the little scrum backdrop they put Fred out on after shoot around. I think with Wade, they're going to have rows of seats. They're going to set up the table. They're going to have the podium. It said Gar Foreman is going to be there. Didn't say anything about Fred Hoiberg, but I don't know why he wouldn't be there too.
Yeah, I would think, I mean, Fred, we want to get as many answers as we can out of Fred, how this is going to work. And I know he's commented
but he hasn't really since, because whenever I was out there, or at least the parts of Summer League that I was out there for, the deal wasn't official yet. And so he had say stuff like, we're hoping to get a former All-Star that's won multiple championships, you know, stuff like that. He wasn't allowed to officially talk about the deal yet. So it'll be good to kind of, if Fred's there, it'll be good to get his thoughts on, you know, how it's going to fit and how he's going to manage the rotations. But, you know, as far as speaking of Fred Hoiberg, we have a very good question from one of our listeners.
Absolutely, and it ties in to Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo. Jimmy Butler as well in a way, because I think these are the three guys that are going to be setting the tone for the Bulls and also their pace of play, which Matt asked us via email. And you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Matt says, where do you think the Bulls will rank in terms of pace this upcoming season? It seems like playing faster would open the floor up more, which could be important considering the three-point shooting worries. But at the same time, I'm wondering if that's possible with guys like Wade and Rondo and the likelihood of the Bulls playing two big men at the same time usually? Excellent question. We need to give a little background reference and information. The Bulls were 13th in pace in the NBA last year, according to NBA.com, at around 98.3 possessions per game. That was basically exactly league average in Fred Hoiberg's first year.
You have to keep in mind that, you know, part of the appeal of Fred when they first hired him was that he was going to play a much faster paced offense than they did under Tom Thibodeau, and even under him, they were still middle of the pack their first year. Now, I mean, I know a lot of that is personnel, but
it's a big deal for Fred. I mean, he came and they sold the space and pace part of it, and there really wasn't either of those things for the Bulls much or very often last year at all. And I do think there's potential here to get quicker, and I think I'll shed some light here with the statistics to show why.
We're using guess some of these on-off numbers.
Guess who was first in the NBA last year in pace? You know, Sean, because we just looked it up. The Sacramento Kings, and who was their point guard?
Rajon Rondo.
Absolutely. They were first in pace at 102.2 possessions, almost a half a possession more than the second-place Golden State Warriors. So they were far and away the fastest-paced team in the NBA. And they were at their fastest when Rondo was on the floor playing at 103.2 possessions per game as opposed to 100.4 with him off of it. So those numbers basically with Rondo just reflect that they clearly played much faster, three possessions faster when he was on the floor. And this is important too. He's replacing Derrick Rose, who the Bulls played at about a 99.1 possession pace when he was on the floor last year. So your point guard that the Bulls have this year played four possessions quicker than Derrick Rose did last year, and the Bulls played a little bit quicker with Derrick Rose on the floor than they did off it, which you would expect as well. Now, the Bulls never lived up to, and specifically Derrick Rose, never lived up to the pace Fred Hoiberg wanted to play. We've referenced this a couple times on this podcast before, Sean, but there was a couple occasions last year where the media would say, "Hey, Fred, how's Derrick pushing the ball?" Fred would say, "Oh, it's going okay. I like his progress, but it still needs to be quicker." We'd go to Derek with the same question, and he'd be like, "I'm pushing the ball better than I ever have in my life."
There was one point last season where Fred said that he gave Derek a challenge that every time down the floor he had to get the ball over the half-court line before they got to 21 seconds on the shot clock. And I think the game where he said that before a game, I forget which game it was.
Like, but our jaws dropped almost.
He said that before a game, and then, like, during that game, I basically just spent the whole game writing down, you know, possessions, like, how many times they did it and how many times they didn't, and it wasn't very good. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but they weren't really accomplishing the goal, even though Fred explicitly set that out.
Yeah, and I want to add one more statistic here. The Bulls last year, a big factor in this is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
They played at just shy of a 98 possession per game pace with Jimmy Butler on the floor, which is below league average when Jimmy Butler was on the floor. And I think that possession, obviously, or that number reflects a lot of things because he's on the floor with Derrick Rose a lot. But it does also hint at Jimmy Butler playing some isolation basketball, being a little slower, more methodical, deliberate with the ball not hopping, him not getting to the hoop in a timely manner, and just doing things late in the shot clock. So a lot of this will come down to who has kind of the power and who literally has the ball in their hands more. Is it going to be Rondo? Is it going to be Jimmy Butler? Is it going to be Dwayne Wade? If it is Rondo, the Bulls can play at a quicker pace, top 10 in the NBA. I'm sure Hoiberg would love it if they were top 3 or 5. I cannot see that possibly in a million years with Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler involved. But I do think if they do give Rondo freedom, which I think would be cool, fun, entertaining, having him making the decisions, because I think he's the brightest basketball player they have when it just comes to seeing the floor, and one of the brighter guys in the NBA in that regard, I do think they can play at a quality pace, but I still have this fear that it's going to be too much isolation basketball, especially at the start when they get this Wade Butler and are trying to find their feet, get their feet wet.
As always, everything comes down to how well the three alphas mesh.
Absolutely. Do you think they're going to play quick?
I think they'll try. It might be the kind of thing where they stay, they're going to play quick. They do it for a couple weeks, they lose a few games, and then they go back to playing a little bit slower. And then meanwhile, Fred talks about how he likes the pace that they're playing at.
So, did we just give you all that cool info and thoughts to come back and say, oh, they'll probably play at a league average pace again.
If they were at league average, I think if I had to guess, they're going to be around league average. They were 13th last year. I could see them maybe cracking the top 10. I don't think top 5 is really realistic.
No, I guess it would be important. The important part would be when they do play quicker to be efficient and finish in transition, because they weren't in transition and didn't finish well enough in transition last year, and that's going to be a little bit more of a priority this year.
And I think having Dwayne Wade, who still is a very good finisher around the basket, as opposed to, you know, what they had last year with Derrick Rose, who just wasn't really able to finish even after he took the mask off and his eyesight kind of healed. He got better, but he was still not that good. Dwayne Wade still had a very good year last year, especially finishing around the basket. I think they have better personnel to do that now. I'm not sure how much this personnel really translates to a markedly faster pace.
Yeah, and I guess a key, those Rose possessions that he's using where he would go in the lane and not finish, get to the hoop, not finish as well, how do those get split up? Do those turn into a lot of Rondo possessions, or do those turn into a few Rondo possessions and mostly Dwayne Wade possessions? If they're mostly Dwayne Wade possessions, that hints at something good for the Bulls, him getting in the lane, them being more efficient. But if the offense isn't clicking and it's just Rondo trying to make a play late in the shot clock, there'll be similar results probably to Derrick Rose, 4 shots, not a really high percentage shot. But we'll ask some of that Friday, certainly, with Fred. But I did want to move on to another question here. Bears, Bulls, Hawks on Twitter.
I think we know which three teams he roots for.
You think he's from Chicago?
I wonder. Here's the thing. He doesn't say anything about Cubs or White Sox. Is he a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan? We have to know.
Might be torn as Cubs-White Sox games going on right now. This guy might be torn regarding his baseball fandom. But we know the other three sports in Chicago. He's got that.
Chicago sports loyalty all day.
But this three-headed sports fan monster in Chicago asks us, who will lead the Bulls in doubles this upcoming season? Sean, your thoughts?
I think it's clearly Rondo, right? I mean, Rondo leads the league in assists last year, and, you know, it's pretty obvious watching them last year, you know, considering how they did, and also just a lot of the, you know, some of the film on Rondo. Like, a lot of that was stat hunting, and Rondo, again, signed a one-year deal essentially this year. It was a two-year deal, but only $3 million of it was guaranteed for next season, so he's going to still be out here trying to get stats. I could totally see Rondo averaging like 10 points and 12 assists a game.
Yeah, he averaged, I think, 11.9 points, 11.7 assists, somewhere in that range last year. I think those assist numbers will go down a little bit because I don't think they'll play quite as fast. I don't think Rondo will be afforded the opportunity to stat hunt quite as much. I think there might be a little bit more isolation basketball, too. But that still leads, I mean, if he averages 9-something assists, every time he's getting 8, he's getting 10 the next night. So it's still a lot of nights that he's going to have double-digit assists. And of course, Pau Gasol was the double-double king the past 2 years, just showing up and getting 18 and 11.
And just like with Rondo, a lot of it was stat hunting.
Absolutely, just in a different manner. And we talked about that last podcast with the rebounding numbers. But if not Rondo, do you have a second guess? Because there's no obvious guy on the interior for rebounds. Like, Robin Lopez could maybe average double-digit rebounds, but then he might average 7 or 8 points. You know what I'm saying? Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, Nico Mirotic are going to have a lot of minutes split up. Those aren't natural double-double guys just showing up on the floor either.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a dark horse candidate could be Taj Gibson. Because that's a guy, he's going to play enough. He's going to be on the floor enough because he's one of their few good defenders. He'll probably get to 10 points.
Yeah.
And then he's a good enough rebounder. I think he'll get, I think it's possible he'll get to
double-double average here and there.
I think he'll get some, but I think the leader in the clubhouse is Rondo because he loves to pad his assist numbers.
Yeah, so like Powell, I don't know exactly off the top of my head, but he's a guy that would put up double-double like 55, 58 times in 80 games that he played or whatever. There will be no one on the interior for the Bulls anywhere near that type of double-double figure. Maybe Rondo gets up there pretty close to that, not quite 55, but he could get in the 40s somewhere with assist numbers and points. But next question from DeBull via Twitter. Is the Cavs-Bulls rivalry dead with Dwayne Wade on the team? Now, I'm a little, I guess, this is a double-edged sword of a question. You look at it two ways. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are friends, so maybe DeBull means it. Their friendship and the Bulls not being good last year kills this rivalry. Maybe on the flip side, you look at it, Dwayne Wade really wants to beat LeBron James. We know last year in the playoffs, LeBron James wanted to face the Heat because he said on the record, I've always wanted to face Dwayne Wade in the playoffs. Didn't get that chance. So there is still competition there, though.
Well, just for some context, the other part of DeBoll's tweet to us, he asked if the rivalry was dead, and he said, will he be able to hate Cleveland like a real Bull should? I think that Bulls fans were a little bit spoiled over the last 9 years by Joakim Noah making these comments about how much he hates Cleveland and how much he hates the Cavs. And I think most of these guys understand that this is a business and they can't really control where they play. And I mean, there are exceptions, obviously, but I don't think that, or like if somebody used to play for a team and then like he ended there on bad terms and got traded there or traded away from there. Like, I'm sure Rondo would love to beat Dallas every single time he plays them because of the way that situation ended. I'm sure Tom Thibodeau would love to beat the Bulls every time the Timberwolves play them because of the way that situation is. Most of these guys, I feel like, aren't going to buy into. Like, I feel like most of the guys who play for the Lakers, for example, because they haven't grown up in like, if you grew up in the 80s, when the Lakers-Celtics was a huge rivalry, and you were a fan of one of the teams, you grew up hating the Celtics.
You
but
hated them.
Like, except for a couple of years in 2008, 2009, 2010, when they were both contenders at the same time and they played each other in the finals twice, I feel like most of these guys don't really care about historical rivalries like that. So I don't think whether Dwayne Wade hates Cleveland or feels a certain way about Cleveland, I don't think that's really going to impact it as much as I think just... It's probably a mutual feeling with LeBron and Wade wanting to play each other in the playoffs because they're friends, they're competitors, they used to be teammates. I'm sure they would both love to have that happen.
Yeah, and this, I guess, leads into a little bit of a bigger picture question. It kind of makes me sad because, I mean, I love sports rivalries. And the NBA doesn't have a lot of great sports great rivalries right now just because Warriors-Clippers is usually tremendous, but the Warriors are on a different level last year. We're getting robbed of Warriors Thunders because Kevin Durant left, and I think I said this before.
That would have been the one.
Phenomenal.
That would have been the one. LeBron versus the Spurs has kind of fallen off because they played each other, obviously, in the finals 2 years in a row when he was in Miami, and then the Spurs weren't able to make it back to the finals when LeBron went back to Cleveland, so that was never really a thing. And the Spurs have kind of fallen off now with Tim Duncan retiring.
Yeah, and there was Spurs Suns in the mid-2000s were great.
The biggest one right now is probably Cavs Warriors, just because they're going to be... They played in the finals the last 2 years. There was a lot of animosity this year because of, you know, Draymond Green getting suspended and various players having things to say about LeBron's reaction to that. And just some of the personalities on the team being the way they are. And, you know, you have to imagine that the odds-on favorite for the next 3 or 4 years is that there's going to be more Cavs-Warriors finals matchups. So that could be kind of a rivalry just because they play each other in the finals literally every single year. But there really aren't a lot of rivalries in the NBA anymore.
That's the thing with the Bulls. They really don't have a rival now after going 42-40 last year. And just being an entirely timid outfit, really, last year on the floor. And the Bulls need a rival. We thought it was going to be, it could have been Cavs and LeBron if it had gone on, but that's a different level now. That's different. You just said the Warriors. But we had Bulls-Bucks, kind of a budding rivalry a couple postseasons ago. And then the Bucks and Bulls were both bad last year. So maybe if we get more animosity, that would help. But the Bulls just got rid of Mike Dunleavy, who was an instigator in that Bucks-Bulls
playoff
series.
Well, he's on the Cavs now. We have to keep that in mind, so that's another app.
Maybe if he takes kind of a surreptitious shot or a subtle, elbow, Giannis, or hit him in the face in that series. And
he had a thing with DeMarcus Cousins also.
That's very true. And then Giannis, like, football tackled him like he was a linebacker into, like, the front row of the seats on the floor. Like, we missed that last year. We need a Bulls rival. I don't know who it can be. I'd like it if it was the Bucks again. They play him 4 times a year, but there's no clear rival. And Joakim Noah's gone, so he can't make Cleveland mad. He can't make fun of other cities like Miami's Hollywood as hell. Like, someone's got to step up. Who's it going to be?
I think we know who it is in the minds of the front office. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And
I think the feeling
play enough.
That's the thing. I think the feeling is mutual between the Bulls front office and Timberwolves coach and president of basketball operations, Tom Thibodeau. But do you think the players on either of the teams really care about the Bulls Timberwolves rivalry? That's the big thing about it.
No, like maybe Rondo can make an opponent mad in the Eastern Conference early in the year, and then like we can build on it.
Maybe
we're putting a lot of a lot of pressure here on Rondo. We don't mean to be too hard on him because we did say the other day he's most likely to cut up the jerseys like Chris Sale would. And now we're asking him to start a rivalry.
And
but,
hey,
with great power comes great responsibility. And he has the ball in his hands. He's in Chicago. Like, come with some responsibility on this. He's going to have to step up and give us storylines all year.
This leads to another question from Ryan on Twitter, which is, which Bulls player is most likely to challenge Rondo to a game of Connect Four? I mean, for those of you who don't know, Rajon Rondo, just going back to his years in Boston, he has his reputation as a absolutely dominant master Connect Four player.
Apparently, otherworldly
Connect Four player. I know who's going to be the most likely to challenge him to Connect Four in the Bulls.
Who?
Bobby Portis.
Why? What do you know about Bobby and Connect Four?
I don't know anything in particular about Bobby and Connect Four. I just feel like Bobby is gonna just look at it and be like, yeah, I can beat him at Connect Four.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby wouldn't back down from the challenge. Bobby's that kind of free spirit. He's good with everyone in the locker room. And he kind of seems to, like, just do some things on a whim, you know, a little bit. So, like, I could see him posting up on the plane playing some
He'll just, for. Like, no, yeah, absolutely. He'll like, have the crazy eyes going the whole time. When Rondo cuts him off, he'll say, get that, BP.
Oh, wait. Bobby Portis talking in the third person about Bobby Portis playing Connect Four against Rondo would be, like, legendary audio, a legendary sight.
Video.
That would be terrific.
Hopefully this happens on Snapchat.
Well, Bobby Portis, big on Snapchat, too.
Bobby Portis is the most prolific Snapchatter on the Bulls as of last season. Now it's Dwayne Wade. But before that, it was Bobby Portis. A lot of his snaps just involve him driving around in a car listening to Future.
That's true. I'm trying to think anyone else in the locker room.
Has a Snapchat, but he doesn't post on it very often.
We don't know a lot of these new guys, either. There's, like, 7 or 8 new players on the Bulls.
So maybe Paul Zipser is secretly a Snapchat, or is secretly a Connect Four master, and we just don't know about it.
Well, that would be really entertaining. But, yeah, we'll try to get to the bottom of that. I'm sure you'll
This is
Bobby
what
Portis.
Happens in late July on the Locked on Bulls podcast. We go in depth on which players would be good at Connect Four against Rondo.
Hey, well, you can't put this on us. Like, this is what the listeners asked us, you know? We're not creating this out of thin air. I mean, we go with the Snapchat storyline, but we're not creating the Connect Four thing out of thin air.
No, Rondo
is what the people want.
Rondo is a noted Connect Four aficionado.
Okay, so we got to see who's in attendance Friday at Dwayne Wade's 2 p.m. Bulls introductory press conference. We got to find out if any of them want to challenge Rondo to Connect Four. We got to figure out how fast the Bulls are going to play with their pace, and they'll say a lot of words that probably don't matter, but we'll relay them to you. I don't think it matters until they get on the floor and actually see how it goes, but we'll certainly let you know what they say. Hopefully Fred's there. I don't know what else am I missing here coming up. USA basketball the next 2 days.
Do we get to meet Gabrielle Union?
That's a big deal.
It's a good question. Maybe we do. Maybe we'll get her to add us on Snapchat.
It's not about meeting her. It's about being in the presence and maybe the frame of her Snapchat.
Right. If we photobomb her Snapchat, that could, you know, that could get us some new followers, some new listeners. Just pull up behind her and be like, hey, subscribe to Locked on Bulls. Leave us a 5-star review.
That's absolutely true. Maybe we could get a, maybe she'll talk.
Maybe she'll give us a
shout-out.
Maybe
she'll give an interview.
Maybe we can get her to give us a shout-out on Snapchat. Get us some followers.
That's true. That would be wonderful. But yeah, as always, you can follow us on Twitter, at Locked on Bulls. You can follow us at Cody Westerlin, at Hyken as well. You can email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries, with any basketball-related questions. We always appreciate. We've got some great questions here the last couple days that have carried the podcast in large part, so we definitely appreciate those. We like those. We're willing to do the research, look up numbers every single time. We get a good idea. You guys have better ideas than us sometimes, to be honest, and we're fine with that.
No, absolutely. Whatever creates the best content. We're not here trying to just take credit for everything here on the Locked on Bulls podcast.
Yeah, We're just the middleman.
By the way, just so you guys... Just to throw this out there, check out some of the other Locked on podcasts, too. Yeah. The network is growing every day. We got Josh Lloyd, who has a big audience for fantasy basketball, Locked on Fantasy Basketball. That's going to be really good if you're into fantasy. The network has started expanding to the NFL, too. There's been Locked on Saints, Locked on Buccaneers. I think there are a couple of others. The network is growing. Most of the NBA teams are accounted for now. David Locke, who started the network and is the radio play-by-play voice for the Jazz, has done terrific work expanding the network. We're very excited to be a part of it.
Yep, and I believe there's over 20, 22 NBA teams now on board involved. So if you have friends who are fans of different teams, let them know, tip them off to other great content on the Locked On Podcast Network.
As for us, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Audioboom. Leave us a 5-star review. We always appreciate that, because if we get more 5-star reviews, that will make sponsors more likely to want to give us money, and the more money we make off of this, right now we make no money off this, but the more money we make, the more likely we are to keep giving you the fire content.
And, yeah, massive resources, the greatest statistical research you'll
absolutely
ever find. We might hire an intern someday.
One day we will have an intern.
But as always, thanks for listening. We'll catch you soon enough. Take care, guys.